So I always think I have a simple message. Tonight's message, for those of you who aren't online, is some thoughts on 2025. Yes, I could give you prophecies, I could speak things that we see coming about, but before I get started on the word that I received for tonight, I want to share with you the word the Lord gave me for 5785 in 2025. Do you ever ask the Lord to give you a word?
Yes.
Some of them are pretty ferocious, aren't they? A few months ago, I heard Holy Spirit say, expect change. That'll make you cringe. On election day last November at a mentoring session, Pastor Ron asked me, what do you think will happen today? I had a one-word answer, change. It didn't matter who was winning. It was going to change everything. It wasn't going to be the same after that Tuesday in November. The first time the English word change is used in Scripture is seen in Genesis 35, verse 2. In the New American Standard, it says, so Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods which are among you, purify yourselves, and change your garments. The ancient Hebrew root word that's used in this passage is kalaf, meaning to slide by. It's pretty easy to change when we just slide by, isn't it? Unfortunately, someone else captures us in that change, or something else. It means to hasten away, to pass on, to spring up, to pierce, or to change. It also means to abolish, to alter or change, to cut off, go on forward, to grow up. You know, this is the year to grow up. And as a matter of fact, Hebraically, this is the month to grow up and mature. To be over, pass away, pass on, pass through, renew, sprout, or strike through. I didn't even have to look up. I did look up in several English dictionaries the meanings, and they all copied the Greek and the Hebrew meanings. One of the other 27 Hebrew and Greek words translated in the Bible as change is the primitive root hey word. We are in the year hey, hey, so it caught my attention since hey words are important. That word is havak. It means to turn around or turn about. You know, many of us havaked when we finally got touched by the Holy Spirit and repented. That's a havak. Turn around. Of course, there's some other stuff that goes with it, too. It means to change, to return. It can also mean to pervert. To become, to come, to be converted. That's a good one. We should be continually being converted into his image and his likeness. I shouldn't look the same today as I did yesterday. As a matter of fact, I look a little better today. It means to give or to overthrow. The first time havak is seen in Scripture is in Exodus 14, verse 5. It says, when the king of Egypt was told the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a havak of heart, a change of heart toward the people. And they said, what is this we have done that we have let Israel go from serving us? You know, the world is a harsh taskmaster. Just when you think you've got breakthrough, it wants to pull you back in. Change is happening all this year. And it's going to be a battle between the forces of evil and the angels of the Most High. I don't know which side you're going to come out on. I know which side I'm going to cheer for. It's called worship. Because when you worship, you release his angels to war on your behalf. So change. This year, expect change. Don't expect status quo. I've begun changing my routine since January 2nd. I should have started back in October. I'd be a lot better shape today. So, some thoughts on 2025. When I was asking the Lord about the coming year and what he was saying to me, I heard something different than I had heard before. Isn't it funny that for 2 months he was talking to me about change and then he changes the way he talks to me? Perhaps Holy Spirit was quickening me to avoid the lukewarm waters of complacency. Have you ever swum there? Hot or cold, Jesus can put up with. Lukewarm, we become mouthwash. That's in Revelation, if you don't think it's in Scripture. He will spew us out if we are complacent. But let's see where he's going to lead us in this change. So I'm going to read a bunch of scriptures and just make some comments. Exodus 20:25 in the New American Standard. And if you make an altar of stone for me, you shall not build it out of cut stones. For if you wield a tool on it, you will profane it. The Amplified Bible of that verse says, if we wield a tool upon it, we have polluted the altar. See, this is a year when we must be sure to build as the Lord directs. He's given you two hands. He's given you a heart and a voice to build. We are not to profane or pollute the altar of our heart before the Lord. Change your clothes. Leave all of the old idolatrous ways behind. It may have been a good way to worship the Lord in 2024, but he's not going to alter, he's not going to honor the old ways we put ourselves upon the altar. He's going to require something of us this year. Removing the giants from our path and taking our high places this year requires a greater intimacy with the Lord than we walked in last year. So we have to find a way to become more intimate with the Lord. In Leviticus 20, verse 25, the New American Standard says, you therefore are to make a distinction between the clean animal and the unclean, and between the unclean bird and the clean, and you shall not make yourselves detestable by any animal or by bird or by anything that creeps on the ground which I have separated from you as unclean. Here's how the Message reads in that same passage from the second half of the verse before in verse 25. I am God, your God, who has distinguished you from among the nations. So live like it. Distinguish between ritually clean and unclean animals and birds. Do not pollute yourselves with any animal or bird or crawling thing which I have marked out as unclean for you. In other words, there's stuff I have had in my life I have to get rid of this year. And if you're honest with yourself, you just said, me too. They are unclean things. Even if it was the righteous way to worship last year or last season, he's calling us in this new place called trust in him. God has set you apart in 2025. It is a year to be holy or set apart for him. You will have to say no and let go of some of the things the world is embracing. That's going to be hard for some of you, but the reward is greater than you've ever imagined. The call of the Lord to his bride this year is, come away with me. And if I knew all the words, I'd sing it to you. As priests, in Numbers 20, verse 25, take Aaron and his son Eleazar and bring them up to Mount Hor. What does that have to do with this year? I hear what you're thinking. As priests under the Lord, we must come away with him to the places he calls us to come and consecrate ourselves to his service. That means you may have to go some places that you have never gone before or you have refused to go before. But if his call is for you to go there, there's something he wants to impart to you you can't get anyplace else. Do not let religious rituals, habits, and traditions keep you in the rut of the familiar. You know what a rut is. It's a grave with no ends. And most Christians get into the rut of religious traditions and rituals. Aren't you glad we don't let the religious spirit hang around here? Judges 20, verse 25. Took a while, but you're there. This half of the room is on it. This half of the room is saying, where's he going? Benjamin went out against them from Gibeah the second day and fell to the ground again, 18,000 men of the sons of Israel, all those who drew the sword. These are brothers fighting against brothers. You know, this nation's in a civil war right now. If you don't think so, just go tell someone you love the Lord in places where they don't. Victory is not for the faint-hearted. Oh, I've got Jesus' victory. But I don't say it out there. I do. Even as an international manager, when people ask me a question, I would answer it biblically. And you know what? His word does not return to him void. So it was heard, and if not by the person it was spoken to or the people it was spoken to, it was heard by the angels, and they were activated. Be sure not to give up in the battles the Lord has called you to fight. This is the battle where they were bringing punishment against Benjamin for what he had done. And the first two times they went out, they got slaughtered. The smaller force defeated the larger force. It would be easy for us to give up and say, well, I guess God wasn't really asking us to do that. His victory in his time is always sure. We have to remember that a day for him is 1,000 years for us. He's not slow. Well, I'm not going to be 1,000 years old. I can't hang around. No one's ever been 1,000. He didn't ask you to be 1,000. He asked you to be obedient. Our eyes and our hearts must be focused on Adonai Sabaoth this year. He is the Lord of hosts. Psalm 24, 7 through 10 was the scripture for last year, which, by the way, Hebraically does not end until Passover this year, because Hebraic is cyclical in their year. God always wants us to embrace the blessings. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors. You are the gates. Only you can welcome Yeshua, Adonai Sabaoth, into your living room, into your business, into your school, into your marketplace, into every place he calls you to go and carry his presence. You can't do it where I am unless he calls you to be where I am. I can't do it where you are unless he calls me to go and be with you. That's why we need to be bold this year. He's going to give you assignments, and those assignments are going to produce testimonies, and those testimonies are going to set many people free. If you are not focused on Adonai Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, which is the Lord of angel armies, for those of you who don't know what it means, then you are not going to go out in the victory the Lord intended you to go out in. Worship will be important because it activates the angelic host that Father created well before he created the heavens and the earth to go and do what he asked and created you to do. 1 Samuel 20:25. The king sat on his seat as usual, the seat by the wall. Then Jonathan rose up, and Abner sat down by Saul's side. But David's place was empty. See, be sure you are where the Lord has called you to be this year, even if it is not your normal routine. But Saturday night, I need to be here. If the Lord calls you someplace else, he has something for you to do. Don't get so hung up on your schedule that you are out of his time frame. Because the word of the Lord and the timing of the Lord bring the anointing of the Lord. That is what breaks the yoke. Not your and my anointing, his anointing flowing through you. If you are out of position with the Lord, you will get captured in the plans of your enemies. You see that all the time in Scripture. Well, we'll go out to Ai and we'll take it. God already told them, I'm not going to give it to you. They went out and they got slaughtered because they didn't go out with the word of the Lord and the timing of the Lord. 2 Samuel 20:25. And Sheva was scribe or historian, and Zadok and Abiathar were priests. In 2025, it will be important to ask the Lord how he has called you to serve in his kingdom. Just don't make an assumption. You don't need titles. Here are titles. These were positions in the tabernacle. Daughter of the Most High God is the best title. Son of the Most High God is the best title. It enables you to be an inheritor of everything which belongs to Jesus. I'm sure your dad didn't drop you. So expect him to talk to you, be where he's called you to be and what he's called you to be, and yield to him. I can be a prophet or an apostle, but if I'm not yielded to him, then I'm worthless. The titles don't mean anything. It's the work that goes into it. When you yield to him, you are on his path to your destiny. I can't get to what he created me to do without yielding to him every day. In case he can tell you, I have to humble myself quite a bit. 1 Kings 20:25. And muster an army like the army you have lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. Then we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they. And they listened to their voice and did so. This is the enemy of Israel. They defeated him in the mountains. They defeated him in the valley. But in between defeating them in the valley, the king was told by his advisors, just rebuild your army and go out and get them. Expect the name of the Lord and his word to be keys for your victory this year. If you're going out in your own name, you're going out naked. If you're going out in your own remembrance, you're going out weak. It's all about your relationship with him. The more you press into him, the more of him is on you. You know how he made Adam? He rubbed Adam together. His DNA was all over Adam, but that wasn't sufficient. He breathed his DNA into Adam's life, into his lungs. So now it's in all of his blood. The more intimate you are with Father, Spirit, and Son this year, the more of them you are going to carry. We told a church we were ministering in Central Tennessee back in November, and you've heard it before. He's made you to be like sea sponges. You know those big, huge sponges that when they get full of water, you can barely, barely pick them up. But he's made you to saturate so much of his presence, he's going to send you over here today and squeeze you out until you're bone dry. That's the valley of the dry bones. And then he's going to bring you back into his presence because you don't want to be anyplace else. And he's going to super soak you again. It's called satiate. To be satiated with his presence. Saturated is not enough. When 2 Chronicles 20:20, and those of you who have known me for more than a day know that I'm a 2 Chronicles 20:20 type of person, but this is 2025. And I'm going to give you a short passage because there's a whole sermon caught up in there. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found so much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. How many of you want more than enough? Amen. If you didn't say amen or yes, you're a liar. Isn't that true? You want more of the good stuff. That's him or whatever he has for you. Well, if you don't, come up for prayer later. And it says, and they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. When you are moving with the Lord and his plan and his timing, then I want more than enough. But I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. When you are moving with the Lord and his anointing and his timing, then expect his promised provision to be more than what you could ever ask or imagine. It all involves being with him this year. There are breakthroughs coming that some people are going to walk into and many people are going to ignore. Job 20:25 in the Amplified reads, "The arrow is drawn forth and it comes out after passing through his body. Yes, the glittering point comes out of his gall. Terrors march in upon him." Zophar is telling Job, the triumph of the wicked is short. How many of you want your enemies to be gone? Yeah. They are triumphing right now, but the more you speak and stand for the kingdom and the king, they're going to be vanquished. Some of you don't like warfare, but let me tell you, Jesus is all about warfare. And God says he is a man of war. So if you want to be like Dad, you got to be in a righteous war. So he was telling him that the triumph of the wicked is short and God will not let the wicked go unpunished. If you have not been awake in the last 12 months, it actually started back in the 1980s. But God's judgment began with the house of the Lord. And he is judging the things that were hidden. He is removing all of the temples, all of the structures we built to hide our sin. Not only in the house of the Lord, but government, entertainment, media, all of the mountains. He is bringing just and righteous judgment. That is because he declared war against the wicked. And we can either say, "Oh, I'm not into war, you know. It's not the Bible." Well, you're not reading the same Bible I am. If we let the forces of darkness that rule the education mountain put a rating on the Bible, it would be beyond triple X. Because it's truth. And it's meant to tell us how to live in a dark world and change it into a light world. We're going to see just and righteous judgments of God increase in 2025. If you are so concerned about the Lord's judgment coming, then say, "Lord," this is a scripture, "in the midst of your just and righteous judgment, remember mercy." If you are not crying out to God for mercy, every single one of us has a mercy account. It's unlimited. And you can speak your mercy into situations which will break the hold of the enemy over the captives. Those people bound in addiction, they need mercy. Mercy sets people free. Your worship releases angelic hosts to war against specific demonic principalities this year. Worship, worship, worship. Do not fight alone. Some of you say, "Well, I'm just not going to fight. I don't want to worship. I'm not going to fight." Well, you already lost. It's that plain. I've seen the battle. And those who will not worship get caught by the enemy. It is not pretty. It's devastatingly ugly. You guys are going to hear it. Those of you who are part of the Regional Intercessors are going to hear it. But I called and said, for intercessors, and that's all of us, because we should all have a relationship with the Lord which allows us to baga, strike the mark. The assignment from last year is not done. We have until Passover of this year to get it done, because he's got angelic principalities, righteous rulers for this region, that we need to finish. "Lift up your head, O ye gates, so the King of glory may come in." So we welcome into every gate of the region, the state, and the nation to rule and reign with the righteous angelic hosts, principalities and powers of righteousness. And you know what? They're all waiting for you and me. And for the last hour, 42 years, they've been watching the intercessors start to stand up around the country, around the state, around the county. Don't believe Leviathan. Turn off your news if you have to, because it's been held captive by a demonic ruler of wickedness. Don't fight alone, worship. I don't sing too well. God doesn't care. He put your voice in you. The question is, will what comes out of your heart honor him? But I don't know the words to the songs unless they put them up on the wall. You know, in the first century, they didn't have them on a wall. And they worshiped until the walls fell down. Sing in the spirit. I got news for you. This is the year when we get over the religious spirit. I will not be ashamed of the Spirit of God who lives in me. I will not quench him. I will not cause him to take a back seat because I might offend somebody. But I will offend God when I tell him to be quiet. When he says to you, speak, I sing in the spirit when I drive. So you ought to be, Casey's saying, yep, you ought to be glad you don't have to sit in a confined space. He's put his spirit in you to speak to you. And when you speak, guess what? He speaks back. And when you speak, and by the way, that was the interpretation of that word, because I didn't know what I was going to say. When he speaks back, you can speak it with the authoritative grace of God. When he gives you something to say. So most of the time, yes, we pray in our private place. We pray in the quiet place. We pray. But don't be ashamed of the gift he's placed within you. Yes. You may not have the public gift of tongues or the public gift of interpretation, but you do have the intimate creator of the universe who hovered over the formless and void nature of the earth living inside of you. And if he could raise Jesus from the dead so you could call him Lord and Savior, and Jesus said, I will give you the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to teach you, to comfort you, why are we hiding him? Because we're one of the 10 virgins with no oil in our lamp. You know, all 10 fell asleep, but 5 were wise enough to fall asleep with their lamps ready to go. This year, be ready to go. Proverbs 20. Verse 25, and the Amplified said, it is a snare to man to utter a vow of consecration rashly and not until afterward inquire whether he can fulfill it. The Passion Translation says, be careful in making a rash promise before God, or you may be trapped by your vow and live to regret it. Jesus said, I'm going to hold you accountable for every idle word you've spoken. And so when you make a promise to God, guess what? When we get before the judgment seat, and it's not to send us to hell, it's to determine what blessings we have. So get that straight in your mind. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you're serving him and you're following him, you're not being judged at the great right throne judgment. You're being judged at the judgment seat of Christ to determine whether you get rewards. And he said he's going to hold you accountable for every idle word. Al, do you remember when you said you would go to whatever nation I would send you to? I remember, it was 1983, I was in a church in Tennessee. I didn't remember that he remembered it. But those of you who know us know that we've been on 6 continents. Because when I said yes, he thought I was serious. Go figure. At the midpoint in the pay decade, God is going to hold you accountable for the words you speak. Remember, this pay decade, the 5780s, or as we know them, the 2020s, is all about your voice and the words of your heart coming out of your mouth. Self-control and kindness will be essential fruits to walk in this year. Self-control and kindness. Remember to let your yes to the Lord be yes and nothing less. So, as I said 5 years ago at the start of this decade, if you can't say something good, like yes to the Lord, don't say anything at all, because he's going to hold you accountable for it. And you will love saying yes to the Lord. Ezekiel 20, verse 25. I also gave them statutes which were not good, and ordinances by which they could not live. Doesn't he sound like a harsh taskmaster there? See, the Israelites were determined to live bad lives. They constantly walked away from the word of God. They constantly walked in rebellion against what he asked them to do. And he says in the message, I myself gave them statutes that could not produce goodness, and laws which did not produce life. See, if you continually walk against the thing the Lord's calling you to do, last year was halftime in this decade. You are now moving into what should be your victory. It should be the giants coming down on your path. It should be the high places he's called you to occupy, to begin to occupy and dislodge the principalities and powers. Do not walk away from or add to the word of God this year, or you're going to find yourself outside his grace and under the weight and burden of unlivable laws. Want me to repeat that? Do not walk away from or add to the word of God this year, or you will find yourself outside of his grace and under the weight of unlivable laws. This was what was about to happen in this nation. Laws that vanquished righteousness. It's not going to happen in the next 4 years. That's almost the end of this decade. In the world, we will see changes in laws. We're already beginning to see it in other nations. We're beginning to see governments overthrown. We're beginning to see rulers change. We're beginning to see governments topple, which had exalted themselves against their God-given call. But I didn't see that on the nightly news. Well, Leviathan doesn't tell you what he's doing. He just keeps you in worry and anxiety. But you got your victory at Golgotha. Our heart and mind must be steadfast unto God and his word this year. If you have not begun reading the word, I'm on my 42nd time reading through the scripture. And that's just my reading. That's not my study. I can't get enough. Every time I open the word, there is something new that Holy Spirit speaks to me. If you have not received Holy Spirit, come up here after and we'll make sure you've got the one who initiated the word in the author's hearts so you can understand what you're reading. Matthew 20, 25. Oh, I sure am glad he's out of the Old Testament. And Jesus called to them and he said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men hold them in subjection, tyrannizing over them. The Passion translation of Matthew 20, 25 says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, you know, he knows your thoughts, so don't try to bluff your way. You can't play poker with Jesus. Jesus, knowing their thoughts. Oh, Ron says, oh. Yeah. He's never lost a kitty. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, called them to him and said, kings and those with great authority in this world oppressively rule over their subjects like tyrants. Do you know who the rulers of the United States of America are? We the people. Did you know that's what the document says? Guess what? The changes we're going to see should be taking us back to we the people. The unrighteousness that has happened since the mid-1800s is about to be reversed. And it's going to cause many Christians to complain. Because I got to start living like Jesus. Because you're the head, not the tail. You're the answer, not the question. As world leaders change this year, it's important to remember you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father's gifts of giving and service will be important in 2025 and 2085. So his gifts of giving and service, those are two of the gifts of the Father in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. But those aren't my main gifts. He'll let you use them. Giving is my main gift. Service is in there someplace. Prophecy is in there someplace. Teaching is in there someplace. But if you will let him, he will let you participate in the gifts that are key for breakthrough, not only for you, but for the country this year. Luke 20, verse 25, out of the Passion Translation. Jesus said, "Precisely, the coin bears the image of the Emperor Caesar, and you should give back to Caesar all that belongs to him. But you bear the image of God, so give back to God all that belongs to him." Do you know every breath in your lungs belongs to him? Yes. Everyone. This is not a time to shrink back and relax. Well, so-and-so just won the election. Big deal. It's who's in the courts of heaven that matters. It's who's in your heart that matters. Yes, it does matter, because if he's in your heart, you can pray for those that are in positions of leadership, authority, and influence to come to know the King of Glory, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We are going to see awakening in the government mountain. It can't come soon enough to New York State, in my opinion. John 20, 25. Some of the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas, how come some of you perked up? Do not let doubt or unbelief remain in your heart. Thomas, let doubt be there. Your testimony is going to set captives free. "Well, I don't really think my testimony is as good as Al's." Your testimony is better than mine, because he gave it to you to set captives free. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of Al's testimony. Oh, Valerie said I quoted it wrong. And the word of your testimony, and love not your life unto the death. There is nothing that can separate you from God. Not even death. Someone tried to threaten me years ago by taking my life. And I said, "Thank you." And so they stopped. They said, "What?" And I said, "You're going to promote me." Because as soon as this suit of flesh dies, my spirit and my soul are instantly in the presence of the King of Glory. They turned and walked away. The Passion Translation of Acts 20:25. Is that where we were? No. John 20:25. I'm trying to skip to the end for y'all. "Do not doubt, let doubt and unbelief remain in your heart. Those who allow these enemies of faith to remain will speak words which destroy faith." If you allow doubt and unbelief to remain in your heart, you will speak words which destroy faith. Faith comes by hearing. You're the first one to hear. And hearing by the word of God. And those who hear will lose faith. So be careful what you speak this year. Acts 20:25. In the New American Standard. "And now behold, I know all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face." Passion Translation of Acts 20:25 reads, "I have been a part of your lives and shared with you many times the message of God's kingdom realm. But now I leave you, and you will not see my face again." Remember those who have equipped you and are equipping you to be overcomers. Pray for them. the same way they've prayed for you over the years or the decades that you've been walking with them. See, they equipped you to prosper in your kingdom walk. If you prosper in your kingdom walk, that means your soul is prospering. And 3 John 2 says you prosper and are in health as your soul prospers. And most Christians are not prospering because they have not given their soul over to Jesus and Holy Spirit. Well, why don't I have more? Because he can't trust you with what he's already given you to steward. This year, we must honor those who have equipped us over the years in our prayers before the throne of grace. Some great saints and equippers of the Lord are going home to be with him in glory. It's already happening this year. This year, we reap what we have sown. If you haven't prayed and thanked the Lord for those who have equipped you, guess what? You're going to get the reaping of grumbling and complaining. If you don't think that sounds too good, go read the book of Exodus. If you want to prosper in the kingdom in 2025 and beyond, you must return to an understanding of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It's not going to be up on the screen because I asked it not to be up on the screen because they're not going to put it up on the screen the way I'm going to read it. Here's what it says. Eretz, Shama, Bara, Elohim, Reshith. Oh, wait, it wasn't written in English? No, it wasn't written in English. What we read as in the beginning in English is literally the Hebrew Elohim, Reshith. When we apply all of the definitions for these two words, which are at the start of everything in the Bible and everything else in the scripture flows out of these two words, it means in the beginning, no, it means literally God, Father, Spirit, Son, the first in rank, order, priority, and time. That's Reshith. Elohim is the three gods, Father, Spirit, Son. Everything in Scripture flows out of them being the preeminent priority of everything we do. You want to know how to break through in 2025? Stand to your feet. Our victory is always sure when Elohim is first in rank, order, priority, and time, requiring you and me to linger in his presence. Well, I'm going to skip around on Saturday night or Sunday morning. I'm going to have a good time. He wants you to linger in his presence. Why was Joshua so successful? 40 years in the wilderness, he lingered in the presence of the Lord, in his glory. If you want to prosper in the kingdom in 2025 and beyond, Father, Spirit, and Son must be your preeminent priority. Throughout this year, remember, your voice is a powerful change agent. Bringing it back to the word he's given me for this year. You will speak things which will change things, either for the good or for the ugly. Father, we cannot get by with yesterday's anointing. Jesus, we cannot get by with yesterday's baptism in Holy Spirit and fire. Father, I call down now your Holy Spirit baptism. Lord Jesus, let there be the baptism of the Spirit and fire greater than it was in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. For the evil in the earth is far greater today than what they had to face. Lord, we can't get by with just your Spirit and just your Son. Father, we ask you tonight, and say it out loud, baptize me in your love, Father.
Baptize me in your love, Father.
Father, we ask you for a fresh baptism of your love, which will immerse us in who you are, for your word says you are love. We ask you to immerse us in the flesh, now resurrected and victorious of Jesus. We ask you to immerse us in your love, which is your Spirit's first fruit. Lord, we ask you tonight to baptize us in your love so that when you send us throughout this year, we do not go out in the strength of our flesh, but we go out in the victory of your love. Father, I send your sons and daughters to prosper and be in health as their souls prosper in you and to accomplish everything you've set before them this year. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, there will be people up here for prayer for healing. If you need a touch from the Lord to receive the baptism of Holy Spirit and fire, then come on up and we'll pray for you for that. For the rest of you, have an extravagantly great week. Don't settle for yesterday's bread.
Yes.
We love you all.